Living and Dying with Honor Bible Study, Lesson Number 98, which is also a part of the special Obedience to God or Man Bible Study, Lesson Number 10. We have been dealing with the doctrine of personality, which we have just finished as a part of our study looking at the laws of divine establishment for temporal living. We have just completed, before personality, the law of the psychological law, God's psychological law, the law of the human soul. We're now ready to look at the law of individuality. We've seen the law of creation, we've seen the law of biological life, and we've seen the law of psychological life. We're now going to see the law of individuality. We've taught this in the past to you, but we're going to look at it with a little bit different viewpoint today because we're going to go deeper in it than I've gone before because I've made some new connections, relationship to things to deal with it. We're living in a day and age where freedom is fast disappearing from the United States of America. Many people are concerned about this. Part of the problem comes from a direct misunderstanding of Romans chapter 13, which establishes the standard for God's institution of government. Let every soul be subject unto the higher powers, for there is no power but of God. The powers that be ordained in God. Whosoever therefore resisteth the power, resisteth the ordinance of God. They that resist shall receive themselves damnation, for rulers are not a terror to good works, but to evil. But I don't be afraid of the power, do that which is good, and thou shalt have praise of the same. For it is the ministry of God to thee for good, but if thou do that is evil, be afraid, for he beareth not the sword in vain, for it is the ministry of God, and revenge to execute wrath upon him that doeth evil. Wherefore ye must needs be subject not only for wrath, but also for conscience sake. For this cause pay ye tribute also. For there are good ministers attending continually upon the very thing. Many therefore to all they do is tribute to him, tribute to you, custom to him, custom, fear to him, fear out of their mind. Now, many pastors interpret that passage to mean that you have absolute, you must be absolutely committed to the government under which you live at any given point of time. You do not question the government. Government is made up of individual people. I call the term biblical constitutionalism. Now, the way I did it, for two reasons. One, to clarify the issue that man shall not live by bread alone, but by the word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. Is we are to obey God rather than man means that we must base things upon a biblical standard. And secondly, because the law of the land is the Constitution of the United States of America, it is not individual people who are enforcing it. They have authority and power. The Constitution has been distorted and changed greatly by interpretation by men who sit on the United States Supreme Court over a long period of time. Many people teach that the Constitution is a fluid document that has to change with cultures and times, just like people teach the Bible has to change with cultures and times. The Constitution was a written document which had to be taken in the historical context in which it was written, by the people who wrote it, and take exactly what they meant for it, because that's what we adopted as the final authority in the law of the land. Now, I'm not promoting anarchy, I'm not promoting criminal activity, I'm just trying to teach you principles that relate to the will of God. My background in constitutional law, based upon studies, I regret this. My large number of my law, my constitutional law books and things that someone took to keep for me, store for me some 16 years ago, 15 years ago now, and I don't have them. I never got them back. The person burned all bridges with me. But I still got some of them, and I've obtained others by repurchasing some of them. William Blackstone was a believer in the Lord Jesus Christ. was a brilliant understanding of law. Blackstone said the law of nature, being coeval with mankind, and dictated by God himself, is of course superior in obligation to any other. It is binding over all the globe in all countries and at all times. No human laws are of any validity if contrary to this and such of them as are valid derive all their force and all their authority immediately or immediately from the original. This is of the nature of laws in general. The issue that we have to understand is what says the Word of God, and there is a balance. If individuality rules, then you have anarchy. If government, if individuality rules absolutely, if government rules absolutely, then you have tyranny. Marriage and family are the two institutions that God has set in there to keep a balance between anarchy and tyranny for the good of the Adamic human race. The laws of the divine establishment of temporal living are for believers and unbelievers alike. Before we begin, let's pause for silent prayer to give you time to make sure you're on the filling of the Spirit then, and you evaporate objectivity to the teaching of the Word of God. Shall we pray? Father, we live in a day to day when we need much prayer. We need much Bible teaching. And we need to concentrate on what you have and let the Spirit lead us. We have to know into what are the issues for which we must obey you. Not through legalism, not through coercion, but through grace obedience. We are commanded to obey God rather than man, and we must do so through grace obedience. We pray for our nation, Father. We pray for our president, our vice president, each member of the cabinet, and those of the joint chiefs of staff, our Congress, both the House and Senate, for our joint chiefs of staff and our military leadership, the Supreme Court, the entire federal judicial system, as you will reach out, Father, and many of you I know Christ is the personal Savior within government will hear the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ that they might be saved. We pray that for our leadership that we're commanded to pray for, that you will raise up men to talk to those who profess to be believers in Jesus Christ and say, if you're believing in Jesus Christ, this is what the Word of God says. Why are you not considering this and considering of issues related to the laws of the divine establishment or temporal living? This is God's perfect way. We pray for peace and freedom in America that allows us to continue to evangelize the lost for Christ and teach the Word of God to believers and live our life to the glory of the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. In his name we pray. So we will say, come, Lord Jesus. Amen. Special prayer for our country. We pray for you. Are involved in our ministry that you will have balance in your soul and you will understand the issues that are before us. You will come to understand that God is sovereign, not man. That God is supreme, not man, and we're our first allegiance to God. And that we must learn to obey that which is legitimate to obey, but we must do so. The viewpoint of the goodness of God. Charles Haddon Spurgeon wrote, when others behave badly to us, he should only stir us up a little heartily to give thanks to the Lord because he is good, and when we ourselves are conscious that we are far from being good, we should all the more reverently bless him that he is good. It was never tolerated unless the unbelief as to the goodness of the Lord, whatever else may be questioned. This is absolutely certain that God is good. His dispensations may vary, but his nature is always the same. Contemplating the goodness of God. Psalm 52:1 says, the goodness of God endureth continually. 1 John 1:5, God is light and there is no darkness at all. Thomas Merton wrote, he is originally good, good of himself, which nothing else is. For all creatures are good only by participation and communication through God. It is essentially good, not only good, but goodness itself. The creature's good is a super added quality in God. In his essence, he is infinitely good. The creature's good is but a drop. But in God, there is an infinite ocean of gathering together of good. He is eternally and immutably good. For he cannot be less than good than he is. As there can be no addition made to him, has to subtract from him. Alright, no matter what comes in life, we have to recognize that God is good and he is allowing these things to happen. These things to come about. If it is sin and evil, it comes out of his permissive will. If it is blessing, it comes out of his directive will. Whatsoever the Lord pleased, that he did in the heaven and the earth and the seas and out of deep places, Psalm 135:6. Or the third word, such as the mighty potentate revealed in holy will, unrivaled in majesty, unlimited in power, and affected by anything outside himself. But wherever they are done in the most orthodox, they are afraid to admit the proper Godhead of God. They say that the precious sovereignty of God excludes human responsibility, whereas human responsibility is based upon divine sovereignty and is a product of it. We are still responsible for the law of individuality. You and I. Learn what God has to say on every subject. I hope the law of individuality. The law of individuality. We've taught it before. We're going to teach it again. We're going to teach it to you with a little bit different perspective. Alright. Law of individuality is also known as the law of personal freedom. It is the first of the four primary laws that relate to man and his interrelationship with others. Law of individuality what do we base it upon? Genesis, chapter 2. We read these words. I'm sorry, just a second. I'm about to take a drink of coffee from my throat. And to keep it, we're drawing attention to the man. Who is the man? Verse 7, the Lord God formed man of dust from the ground and breathed into his nostrils the breath of lives, and man became a living being. The law of individuality begins in Genesis chapter 2, verses 7 and 15. Verse 7 draws our attention to the man. Adam was an individual. Point one. The law of individuality preceded the law of marriage, law of family, and law of national government. In experiential application, because Adam existed alone Garden of Eden, which we could call the Kingdom of Eden, the Garden of Eden, for an unknown period of time. It is my personal belief that Adam was alone in the Garden of Eden for 1,000 years and passed the test of the law of individuality, because a day is like unto 1,000 years to God, 1,000 years is like unto a day, but you don't have to accept that. That's my personal belief. Law of individuality preceded the law of marriage, the law of family, and the law of national government in experiential application, because Adam existed alone in the Garden of Eden for an unknown period of time. Point two. The law of individuality is based upon the fact that each person is uniquely created by God, utilizing his law of genetics. Each one of us are individually and uniquely created by God using God's law of genetics. You may not have thought of that. You may not agree with that. I've taught it before to you, but we have to look at the uniqueness of everyone. We've taught you that God opens the womb to allow the impregnation of the woman under his law of human procreation. The father allows one. Sexual intercourse is the parent pattern for impregnation in the nervous system. Jeremiah teaches this very clearly to us when it says there is a new thing that God has brought into Jeremiah 31:22, for the Lord hath created a new thing in the earth, and woman shall couple a man. The woman shall couple a man shows the during sexual intercourse that the female body encompasses and surrounds the male body as the two come together to become one, fulfilling the principle of Genesis chapter 2, where Adam said, "This is now bone of my bone and flesh of my flesh. She shall be called woman, because she was taken out of man. Therefore shall a man leave his father and his mother, and shall cleave unto his wife, and they shall be one flesh." The cleaving to his wife is a picture of sexual intercourse. Adam had sexual intercourse with his wife in the garden before the fall, probably many times, over a long extended period, perhaps 900 years, but God did not open her womb. God did not allow her to procreate, because it was not in his plan, because I believe that they were being tested in the law of marriage. I don't believe it was allowed her to. Christ was instructing him in the garden. Time began, the 930 years of Adam's life counted down from the fall when death and interim time was suspended, did not count for him. It was chronological time, but not time related to the materialistic body concerning death. Now, God utilized the law of genetics. Psalm 139:13. For thou hast possessed my reins, thou hast covered me in my mother's womb. I will praise thee, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Marvelously art thou works, and that my soul knoweth right well. My substance was not hid from thee when I was made in secret, and curiously wrought in the lowest parts of the earth. And eyes to see my substance, yet being imperfect, and in the book all my members were written, which in continuous were fashioned, when as yet There was none. God utilized the law of genetics to bring us together, to shape our bodies individually, each one of us. God took everything into consideration, and the height, the weight. We came forth out of the womb, the color of our hair, all of these things. Because of God's plan. God's plan is perfect in all things. You and I need to get this down once and for all. God Nashamad breathed into Adam the breath of lives, and Adam became a living soul. Adam became an individual with biological life, spiritual life, and soul life. Following his original sin, he spiritually died. He was born again, and being born again, he received spiritual life. The breath of life comes from God. Man's body was formed from the small particles of the earth. The Hebrew word for earth and man are similar. But his life came from the breath of the living God, a living person. Man is distinguished from animals by being created originally in the image of God. The fall changed parts of that and brought us down in certain ways. Received a nature of corruption. We're under the law of individuality. We're uniquely created by God. Point three. The law of individuality is based upon the function of the human soul. Well, individuality is based upon the function of the individual, of the distinct, personalized human soul. Each human soul has the same format. And it is out of the format of the soul that we have the law of individuality. And this is important for you to understand. Alright, we have taught you before the law of individuality. Consists of, what for, law of individuality consists of, we'll break them down in front of points, volition, privacy, property rights, volition, privacy, responsibility, property rights, and accountability. However, we have to add one called the right of private judgment, which comes between volition and privacy. I guess could come after privacy, the right of private judgment. His direct will. chapter 2. Verse 17. But from the tree of the knowledge, the tree of knowledge of good and evil, thou shalt not eat. The day thou eatest thereof, dying, thou shalt surely die. I read a directing word of God. Actually, I should have used that in verse 15. Let me change that. I apologize. The Lord took the man and put him in the garden of Eden to cultivate it and to keep it. All right, he gave him something to do, the directing word of God. You have the law, his directive will, permissive will, which is sin and evil. Sin, which leads to evil. Genesis 3:17, the tree of knowledge of good and evil. The tree of knowledge of good and evil. You shall not eat, for in the day you eat thereof, you shall surely die. Genesis 2:17a. And optional will. The optional will consists of all things that do not matter. The optional will of God. We've taught you this before. Genesis 2:16. And the Lord God commanded man, saying, from any tree of the garden you may freely eat. Alright, so God has the directive will, that which he commands us to do. The permissive will, that which he allows us to do, which is always sin. And can be involved in evil. And the optional will, in the areas of non-essentials, God has given us volition. Joshua makes this very clear, that we have to exercise and utilize our volition, and we have a duty before God to do so in Joshua 24:14-15. And therefore fear the Lord, and serve him in sincerity and in truth, and put away the gods which your father served on the other side of the flood and in Egypt, and serve me the Lord. If it seem evil of you to serve the Lord, choose you this day, and you will serve the gods which your father served that were on the other side of the flood, the gods of the Amorites, in whose land you dwell. Whereas for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. God has given us permission to choose. Secondly, he has given us the law of individuality, verse 6, the law of individuality includes the right of private judgment. The right of private judgment. Because we have a conscience. As well as self-conscious. Now remember that the self-conscious allows us to identify with ourselves. The conscious allows us to identify that with that which is outside of ourselves. And the two interlock together to give us the right. The two interlock together to give us the right of private judgment. Romans 2:14-15 establishes the law of the reality of the conscience. For when the Gentiles who did not have the law by nature do the things of the law, these although not having the law, a law to themselves, or show the work of the law written in their hearts, their conscience also bearing witness in between themselves, have thoughts, their thoughts accusing or else excusing them. Now, we have within our soul the necessity to develop divine norms and standards. Divine norms and standards. This is a part of our relationship to the world around us. Isaiah 57:15-16 teaches that soul life nashima, which I have made, asa, soul life, its soul format resulting in physical life. Biological life comes together with human soul life. We have the Cal perfect completed action in Isaiah there with the finished results in the present time. Contrast to Genesis 1:26, where we have the Cal imperfect operation is perpetuated. The soul plural is not referring to creation of Adam. Now, Isaiah 42:5, it says, God the Lord Jesus Christ, the physical birth, he that giveth breath, soul life, nashama, unto the people upon it, to those on the earth, not to the embryo. Fetus does not have the completed soul life. The fetus has within it the format for the soul life as it begins the seed that develops out of the law of genetics. But the soul is a completed being within us. We have, first of all, biological life from the moment of conception, so as far as God is concerned, the person exists. The soul has essence, we point out. The self-consciousness is the awareness of the soul. We exist. The volition is the decider of the soul. Now, the mentality of the soul is divided into the two primary banks, the right bank and the left bank of the soul. In the right bank is where we develop a frame of reference with a memory center, a conscious with norms and standards, and a viewpoint, which should be divine viewpoint as believers. We also have volition, which is the side of the soul, and the emotions, which are the responder, the appreciator of the soul. We also have affections. Affections are different from emotions. Affections are what we reach out with. Emotions are what we respond with. We have a conscious, the norms and standards of the soul. The conscious is whereby we build and understand what is going on. Now, the right of private judgment is connected directly to the human conscious. Conscious is a universal convictor of right and wrong. Conscious is the norms and standards, the moral values, the ability to determine right from wrong, correctly or incorrectly, depending on the accuracy of the norms and standards that we have. Divine viewpoint are essential for correct norms and standards in the soul. Now, the right of private judgment is based upon the conscious. Now, look at 2 Corinthians, or 1 Corinthians chapter 2. Verse 9, but just as it is written, things which I had not seen and ear had not heard, and which have not entered the heart of man, all that God has prepared for those who love him. For to us God revealed them to the Spirit, for the Spirit searches all things, even the depths of God. For who among men knows the thoughts of men except the Spirit of man which is in him? Even so the thoughts of God no one knows except the Spirit of God. Whoever seen not the Spirit of the world, but the Spirit who is from God, that we might know the things freely given to us by God. Which saying we ask to speak not in words taught by human wisdom, but in those taught by the Spirit, combining spiritual thought with spiritual words. The natural man does not accept the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolish to him, and he can't understand them, because they are spiritually appraised. But he who is spiritually appraises all things, yet he himself is appraised of no man, for who has known the mind of the Lord that he should instruct him, but we have the mind of Christ. The mature Christian is led and taught by the Spirit, appraises all things. This is utilization of the right of private judgment. He can scrutinize, sift, and thereby understand all things. or unbelieving and condemned Christians cannot appraise or understand them. Now, every man has a conscience. Romans 2:14-15 teaches that, so therefore the laws of the divine establishment, whatever we have, includes the right of private judgment because we have a conscience as well as a subconscious, Romans 2:14-15. But the principle, the spiritually mature believer must utilize, listen to what I'm saying, Bible doctrine through the filling of the Spirit in regard to the right of private judgment. So we're drawing something a little bit deeper in the law situation here. We have the laws of divine establishment for temporal living. All believers have the right of conscience. Romans 2:14-15 teaches this very clearly. Conscience manifests as a man the reality of what he has to, of where he stands and what he must do. Look at Genesis 9:6. Genesis 9:6. The unbeliever has a conscience within him. The conscience he may sear with a hot iron. In other words, he'll put scar tissue on the right bank of the soul and have develop a system of false knowledge inside it. Whoso sheddeth man's blood, by man's blood shall be said, for he is the image of God, made he man. Alright, so even after the fall, the image of God, though distorted in the Adamic human race, is manifest itself in realities of it. 1 Corinthians 11:7. For a man indeed had not to cover his head, for as much as the image and glory of God, but the woman is the glory of the man. The presence of there is generative action, the participle, huparchon, for he man is and keeps on being in the image of God. As, now, I want you to point out something here. It is spoken of the believer, not the unbeliever. People often mess this up. The human spirit has the DNA of God in it. 1 Corinthians 11:7 relates to the believer. We've got to keep everything in our proper context. The image of God is distorted, nevertheless manifests itself in realities. We have God consciousness or God awareness. We use both terms for that. That brings us to the unbeliever to the point of knowing there's a God. We call that this the age God consciousness, when he becomes accountable to answer to God for his salvation. But we also have moral authority according to Romans chapter 2, the Gentile knows with himself right or wrong to a point at the beginning where he makes serious conscience. And with moral authority comes moral responsibility. Personal choices accompanying obligation. We have to make personal volitional decisions of action regarding to what is right and what is wrong. Alright, so the laws of our establishment include the right of private judgment because we have a conscience as well as a subconscious. Alright, now I pointed out to you very clearly this issue. The issue, this is new, you have not had the right of private judgment before. Adam was left alone in the garden to choose, so he had the right of private judgment. We also have. The law of individuality includes privacy. Privacy is a dying issue today, but it includes privacy. Genesis 2:8, and the Lord God planted a garden toward Eden, toward the east in Eden, and there he placed the man whom he had formed. Man was placed, was given a place of privacy. He was left alone in the garden to pass the test. Of individuality. I have a cut out, I try to cut out stuff to keep it, lose a lot of stuff before I get around teaching it sometime, but October 25th, 2009, Sunday paper, Seattle Times, an article called "The British Surveillance Society is Challenging" by Sarah Lyle, L-Y-E-L-L, the New York Times. Came out of Poole, England. It had become commonplace to call Britain a surveillance society where security cameras lurk at every corner. Giant databases keep track of intimate personal details, and the government has extraordinary powers to intrude into citizens' lives. A report in 2007 by the lobbying group Privacy International placed Britain in the bottom five countries for the record on privacy and surveillance, on a par with Singapore. But the intrusion visited on Jerry Patton, Friday, a matter of three, was starting just the same. Was startling just the same. Suspecting Patton of falsifying her address to get her daughter into a neighborhood school, poor officials began a covert surveillance operation. They obtained her telephone billing records. For more than 3 weeks in 2008, an officer from the Poole Education Department secretly followed her around. What are the cost of this? Known in secret agent style log, the movements of the female and three children in a target vehicle that would be Patton, their daughters, and their car. It turned out Patton had broken their rules. Her daughter was admitted to the school, but Patton had not let the man arrest. Her case, scheduled to be heard by a regulatory tribunal, has become emblematic of the struggle between personal privacy and of the ever-powerful state in Britain. The Peterborough Castle, which governs the area of Dorset where Patton lives, so he has done nothing wrong. And the way is true. Under the law enacted in 2000 to regulate surveillance powers, it is legal for localities to follow residents secretly. Local governments regularly use the surveillance powers, which they self-authorize without oversight from judges or law enforcement officers. So it may be this evening to investigate malfeasance such as illegal dumping industrial waste, holding loan sharking, and falsely claiming welfare benefits. But they also use surveillance powers to investigate reports of noise pollution, people who do not clean up their dog waste, local governments use them to catch people who fail to recycle, people who put their trash out too early, people who illegally operate taxi cabs. As our privacy minister, Wayne Paxton, says, the last question is known as the Regulation of Investigatory Powers Act, or RIPA, and is also gives 474 local governments and 18 agencies, including the Ambulance Service and the Charity Commission, powers once held only by a handful of law enforcement and security service organizations. Under the law, the localities and agencies can film people with hidden cameras, travel through communication traffic data such as telephone calls and website visits, and most undercover agents to pose, for example, as teenagers who want to buy alcohol. Portland Senator Christopher Rose, the Chief Surveillance Commissioner, said local governments conducted nearly 5,000 direct surveillance missions in the limited end of the March, and other public authorities carried out roughly the same amount. Right? That's 10,000 individual surveillance settings in 1 year in England. Poor officials say that using covert surveillance is justified. The Peterborough Castle, for example, uses to detect and prosecute illegal fishing in Poole Harbor. RIPA is essential tool for local authorities enforcing which will make limited use of in cases where it's proportioned and or the means of getting evidence. So Tim Martin is in charge of legal and democratic services for Poole, southwest of London. A fuss over the law comes against a backdrop of widespread public worry about increasing intrusion state and growing circulation of personal details in vast databases compiled by government and private companies. Successive United Kingdom governments have gradually constructed one of the most extensive and technologically advanced surveillance systems in the world. The House of Lords Constitutional Committee said in a recent report, RIPA is a complicated law that also regulates wiretapping and intrusive surveillance carried out by security services. But faced with rumors of public discontent about local governments behavior, the Home Office said in Spain that it would review the legislation to make clear what localities should be allowed to do. One of the biggest criticisms of the law is that the targets of surveillance are usually unaware that they're being spied on. That law was happening later when officials summoned to discuss a school application to a shop that produced the covert surveillance report. As far as I'm concerned, they're within their rights to scrutinize all applications by the way they went about it was totally unwarranted. They wanted the information they could have asked for, She would explain that her case was complicated. The family was to process a move from its own home, which was within the school district, to a new one just outside it. But they met the residency requirements because they were living at the old address when school applications closed. At the meeting, Patton pointed out that the surveillance evidence was irrelevant because the surveillance had been carried out after a bill had passed, and afterwards their daughter was admitted to the school. Patton began pressing officials for more information on their surveillance tactics. I said, I want to come in and talk to you. She said, other people in the car, were they men or women? Did they take any photos? Did this man have a criminal record? No one would ask her questions, Patton said. Martin said he could not comment on her case because it's under review. But Patton said the Office of Surveillance Commission, which monitors use the law, filed a proof counsel and acted properly. They said my privacy more than true to them because the surveillance was covert. As you notice, this covert action does not intrude on privacy. The case is before the investigating powers tribunal, which looks into complaints about RIPA. Usually meets in secret, but as agreed, Patton said they have an open hearing at the beginning of next month. This shows the extent in England, and we haven't reached the extent in this country, but we're not far from that in many ways. But the issue is God has given the right of privacy. The right of privacy is to protect individuals to make their own decisions without coercion. Adam was put alone in the garden. Eve was not there, I believe, for at least 1,000 years, which equivalent to one day in the hand of God. You can take it as a week, a month, 5 days, 6 hours, I don't care. That's your business. All right, the law of individuality includes responsibility to make good decisions. Responsibility comes up front. Responsibility to make good decisions. Verses 16 and 17, the Lord God commanded the man, saying, from any tree in the garden you may eat freely, but from the tree of the knowledge of good and evil you shall not eat thereof. For the day you eat thereof, you shall surely die. So Genesis 2, 16 and 17 show we make utilize our responsibility up front. The law of individuality includes property rights. Property rights. Genesis chapter 2. Alright, first of all, you have the Garden of Eden. You have the garden. Adam was put into the garden to live. We have real estate introduced in the garden. Real estate. Genesis 2, 8. Then it says, now a river flowed, verse 10, now a river flowed out of the Eden to water the garden, and from that was divided to become four waters. All right, we have water rights. Notice water rights were individual to Adam. There were no water rights in America, our seas, and held mostly by government. The state of Washington is very bad related to water rights because they claim all the water from the state and they give permits even to the people for their well waters or whatever. Just where I understand, I could be wrong about some of that, but I know that related to rivers and creeks and stuff like that, they have usurped total authority over that. But there were water rights. So the river became four rivers, and the four rivers and the water rights, the four rivers represent four concepts. Water is used for agriculture and animal husbandry. Water is used for travel. Water is used for energy. And water can be a place of defense, riverbanks, houses were built against riverbanks, first towns and stuff like that for defensive purposes. So you have various areas laid out of water in there. Then you have gold representing precious metals, the onyx stone representing precious gems, delium, which was a gum resin representing extracts from there. So you have property rights. Property rights means you have the right to benefit from the decisions that you make. You have the right to benefit from the decisions that you make. Ten, laws of our established individuality include accountability. Accountability, whatsoever man sheweth, that should also read. Galatians 5 teaches us. Genesis 2:17. But the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, thou shalt eat of it, for in the day that thou eatest thereof, thou shalt surely die. We put that with Genesis chapter 3, verse 7. In the eyes of verses 6 and 7, the woman saw the tree was good for food, and it was pleasant in the eyes, a tree to be desired to make one wise. She took of the fruit thereof and did eat, and gave also unto her husband with her need to eat. And the eyes of both were open, and knew that they were naked. And they sewed fig leaves together and made themselves aprons. The law of accountability, right? This concludes the law of individuality. God made us individual people. You have the right to choose. Well, a great example of that, it was in choosing Adam's choice as to who he was going to marry. He chose to marry Eve, whom God brought to him. But first he rejected any involvement with animals as pets, be a satisfactory partner for him. Verses Genesis 2:18-20, the Lord God said, it is not good that man should be alone. I will make a helpmeet for him. God says it is not good for a man to live alone. I'm amazed at the number of people who choose to live alone today, the number of Christians who choose to live alone. Some, many of them never marrying today, and I'm shocked at the number of people in their 30s and 40s, born again believers that I've met in 50s that have never married. They've avoided this wonderful and fantastic institution that God has designed. Others of them have turned it into a swinging door. Married over and over and over again. Marriage is an institution with a commitment to responsibility. It's supposed to be a lifetime concept. You need to understand the law of marriage, which we'll be looking at in the next class. Before you get to marriage, you have responsibility. And out of the ground, the Lord God formed every beast of the field, every fowl of the air, and brought them unto Adam and said, to see what he could call, what he would call them, and whatsoever Adam called every living creature, that was the name thereof. And Adam gave names to all the cattle and to all the fowl of the air and every beast of the field, but to Adam that was not found a helpmeet for him. Adam did not find a helpmeet. None of them came to Adam. Adam was alone, but pets were not enough. The passage in Genesis 2 teaches that pets are not enough. They are never enough. The loneliness of life. Now, I know many people who have their pets today, particularly elderly people, and their pets have become their substitute for human contact and for human people. Not another accountability was to till the garden. He was also the shamar of the garden. And I'm adding something here that you didn't have before. Under the law, another addition to the law of individuality. A second addition to the law of individuality besides private judgment in the last one is defense of individuality. The right to defend your individuality. Adam was told to shamar, S-H-A-M-A-R, the garden. He was to till it and to watch it, your King James says, Genesis chapter 2. And God commanded, for God, verse 15, the Lord God took the man and put him in the Garden of Eden to dress it and to keep it. The word keep there means to shamar. And the Hebrew is shamar, which means to guard it, to be alert and watch. We have the right to protect our property on the law of individuality. We only have property rights. Your property rights consist of both of ownership. Think about what I'm saying here. Property rights consist of ownership, usage, and defense. Defense of them. We've lost much of the defense of our property rights in this country and most of our defense of other things. And Christians have been led down the trail of blind obedience and blind acceptance of what is not found within the law and within God's system for society and for government. People need to know what is said. You have the right to utilize your own conscience. We're in a period of time today when many things are going on. Romans 14:1-15:3 teaches us that we are to under the doctrine of love for our fellow believers, that we're not to coerce them into areas that they're not interested in. If they believe something is wrong, it's between them and God, and they have to do it. You can teach the doctrine, but you can't make a clone out of them. The Spirit must lead them to understand it. Him who is weak in the faith receive you, but to doubt for disputation. One believes that he may eat all things, another who is weak eateth herbs. I have a deep responsibility to teach, as Paul taught to Timothy, that vegetarianism is a part of demon doctrine. That's my duty when I'm teaching the Word of God. But if you are a vegetarian, I have no right to try to coerce you to eat meat. I can only teach you the doctrine, let the Holy Spirit make it real to you. Let him bring it that he may eat all things, let him who is weak eateth herb. Let it not him that eateth despise him that eateth not, nor let him which eateth not judge him that eateth, for God hath received him. Who hath thou that judges the other man's servant to his own master, he standeth apart. Yea, he shall be heard up, for God is able to make him stand. One man esteemeth one day above another, and another esteemeth every day alike. Let a man be persuaded in his own mind. Alright, you've got the people who hold Sunday as a special day against people who hold that all days are equal. Alright, what do we have to do? We have to protect the literal right of private judgment. Protection of the right of private judgment is the defense of the conscience. Now, the weak believer does not understand. He lacks doctrine metabolized by the doctrine of resident soul concerning the immutability of God and the perfection of God. This is in verses 3 to 6. He that regardeth the day regardeth it unto the Lord. He that regardeth not the day regardeth it not the day to the Lord. He that not regard it. He that eateth to the Lord, for he giveth God thanks. He that eateth not to the Lord, he is not, for he giveth God thanks. The issue is everything we do, we're to do to the glory of God. If you do something and you question whether you do, whether you should do it or not, Romans 14 teaches you have committed a sin. We must be clear in our own conscience under the right of private judgment. All right, we'll pick up in the next class and look at the doctrine of establishment law 5. The law of marriage. Father, we thank you for teaching your word, for your word is absolute truth. Again, we claim your promise it will not return void. We'll accomplish all you design it for. We ask you to sanctify and bless it in the name of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, whose name we pray, saying, even so come, Lord Jesus. Amen.